We started our Tuesday afternoon off with a walk around West Campus.
And where were we going?
Honestly, we weren't so sure ourselves.
All right, I think we found it.
We are at LiveWell. We're about to walk in. It's freezing, so we're hopefully just looking for some warmth here.
No.
Okay, the door opened.
LiveWell embraced us with open arms, and since we've become so good at it, off we went to steal two of their peer educators and grill them about their job.
Okay, we got
Therese
and
Elise,
and they're going to be explaining some information about what LiveWell is.
Yeah, so LiveWell is the Center for Student Advocacy, Training, and Education on campus. We combine themes of empowerment, evidence-based knowledge, and effective skills to help build resilient students and adults. We're also otherwise known as the Health Promotion and Harm Prevention Office on campus.
Yeah, and you can find our in-person office in Elm Hall 109, which is right next to Fitness Center West. And just to get into a little bit about what LiveWell offers, the first branch of LiveWell is our Peer Health Education Program, which is where Elise and I come from. The main thing that we do is host educational workshops and programs on a variety of health and wellness related topics. So we have mental health, physical health, relationship and sexual violence education, as well as several workshops on different substances. And then the second service that we offer within peer health education is our peer wellness coaching program, which is a really awesome program that was launched last year. And this is where you can meet one-on-one with a peer wellness coach who is a peer health educator who has received a little bit more training. And you can meet with them in a one-on-one goal-oriented session to talk about how you can develop some skills around like a certain goal, whether this relates to time management, anxiety, stress, or anything of that matter. And this is a really great way to get a peer's perspective on things.
It's so cool to learn about. Yeah. So if I'm a student and I'm looking to go seek the support, would you suggest going online first or coming right down to the office, or what would your next steps be?
Yeah, so all of our services are appointment based, and you can find, you can schedule an appointment online. Unfortunately, we do not offer just immediate,
we don't offer any drop-ins.
Or drop-ins. So yes, I would say that go onto our website, which is livewell.uw.edu, schedule that appointment, and then come and talk with any of our staff or students.
Very cool. Thank you guys so much. That's so interesting. The minute we walked into the door, we realized that LiveWell seems like a super resourceful place and was the perfect kickoff to our wellness episode.
But what's wellness all about? And what does it have to do with love? Stick with us.
It is the holiday season, and in the spirit of giving, we want to give you two acts in this episode. Act 1, a UW student will discuss the ins and outs of her campus job at LiveWell.
Act 2, a yogi will take us on their journey of mental, physical, and emotional well-being.
My name is Addie.
And I'm Shira.
And you're listening to
It's Complicated, the podcast. You may have heard of us before. We used to have a column in the opinion section, but now we've become travel-sized for your hot girl walks and when you need some advice on the go.
And if you're new here, welcome. It's Complicated is a space where we talk about everything surrounding love, dating, relationships, friendships, and most importantly, love for yourself, because as we know,
it's complicated.
So in starting the column and starting this podcast, my goal has always been to talk to people about love. I love love.
Me too.
And this goal has taken on some new elements over the past year, and that has been really exciting and enlightening. While it's always so much fun talking to people about their relationship problems or their swoony romances and all of the media that we consume that defines the romantic goals of our generation, an aspect that I knew we needed to focus on this time around was this aspect of radical self-love. And as a college student swimming in a sea of different personalities and lifestyles, it's so easy to feel lost and get a sense of not knowing who you truly are. And bringing this back around to relationships, as this is a space where we primarily talk about relationships, I wanted, almost selfishly, to report on how to tend to yourself first and this idea of personal wellness in order to have healthy, fulfilling relationships.
All of that is to say, you don't typically think of wellness when you think of love, but you should. It's a super important part of being in a relationship or a friendship or when you're practicing self-love. We're coming at you this episode with something a little different, but we're hoping to touch on a wide variety of topics on this show and break apart even the more complicated ones.
Yes, everything's complicated.
So today we brought in Rachel, a peer health educator at LiveWell.
Thank you so much for coming in today, Rachel.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to start off with grilling you with some questions. now that we have a good sense of what LiveWell is, what issues do you typically see for college students involving wellness and relationships?
Well, I think like one of the typical things that I see, especially about like wellness and relationships, is forgetting to like take care of yourself. It can be like really easy, especially in relationships, to put like all of your energy and time and emotions like into that when you forget like you are your own individual person. It's not like in the relationship, you're not like one being, it's like two individual people. So I feel like just taking that time for yourself is a huge one. And like that's hard, and it's like hard to set those boundaries.
So what resources do you provide at LiveWell that can maybe help people focus on their own individual being instead of, you know, being just in a relationship and have that be their whole identity?
Yeah. Well, we have this really cool resource called Peer Wellness Coaching. That's when some of the peer health educators, they get more training on like skills and get trained on various coaching methods to help people reach their goals. And so like relationship conflicts, but also like taking care for yourself is like one common one that people do come in to see. And it's really just like having a simple conversation with a peer. All the peer wellness coaches are other students, so it's less like a formal like clinical setting. It's for just having a casual conversation to learn skills.
So are you able to go in with your partner and do these skills, or do you just do it on an individual to individual
basis? They're one-on-one. Mm-hmm. We say they're one-on-one goal-oriented sessions. So you go in by yourself, they're typically 40 minutes, and then you just talk with the coach. Like they'll hear like the situation you're going through and provide you with some skills to help you reach those goals.
Okay, very cool.
So quick scenario, like friend who you see is behaving like this, like they kind of lost themselves, their sense of self in the relationship. And like Adi said, the relationship is kind of their entire personality and you want to send them to this resource. But how do you get through that? Like, I mean, how do you kind of like convince people like, hey, maybe this is like the right time to do this?
Yeah, I mean, having those conversations is hard, especially like when you see someone you recognize like they need help, but they may not be as willing to get it. That also could be like another thing you go into coaching for, is to like have those difficult conversations. Like taking care of like a friend is really difficult, because especially like what we think they need and like how we might solve it may not be like what they want to do. So like that could be a whole nother conversation, is like how do you approach like supporting a friend like when you see them in a conversation or in a situation that you don't think is.
And I'm sure the hardest part is just even signing up for the appointment and getting there and going. Mm-hmm. I think that is kind of recognizing, like, it's hard for college mm-hmm. students to take the time out of their schedules to do something like right. this. And it's especially hard to admit that maybe they're not exactly where they want to be within themselves or their relationships. Mm-hmm. So I definitely see the struggle in that.
Yeah.
I mean, recognizing when you need help is, like, and asking for help is, like, one of the hardest things to do. I recognize that. But then it's, like, once you go, it's, like, weight getting taken off your shoulder. Mm-hmm.
So how many people do you have working at LiveWell, would you say, roughly, that provide this support to students?
So we have 3 peer wellness coaches that do those appointments. Peer health educators, I think there's, like, I don't know the exact number, maybe, mm-hmm. like, 12, I want to say. But then we also, like, have some other resources that are, like, professional staff-run services. Peer wellness coaching, we only have 3.
So what do you do as a peer health educator? Like, what's kind of your role at LiveWell?
So my role is, we've been very busy during the fall. Actually, we do workshops and educational programs on so many health and wellness topics. Like we have one on mental health. We have one on like physical health and nutrition. We have one on sleep, one on alcohol education, one on like relationship, sexual violence, pretty much any health and wellness topics. We probably have some sort of workshop to do with that. And so like lately we've been going into a lot of the FIGs, giving workshops to them on mental health, physical health, sleep, nutrition, and everything like that. But then also RSOs can request workshops from us, and like we'll come to them. Greek Life and Sororities, they have like a chapter requirement. They have to get our alcohol ed one and also our relationship and sexual violence education one. So really just like going to different campus groups and like giving these workshops, like teaching people like different skills that they can use to like take care of their like overall well-being. And then also throughout the year, we'll do certain campaigns or other programs. Right now, we're starting soon, like, our gratitude postcards. This is where, like, people can come pick up a postcard that, like, our graphic designer has made, fill them out, like, write a little message for someone they love, and, like, we'll send it out to anyone, to anywhere in the world for free, which is really cool. But right now, most of my work goes into the workshops.
That's amazing. Yeah, and kind of just touching on something you said about the sexual and relationship kind of counseling, I remember we talked earlier with a couple and they said that none of your things are mandated, which is really kind of a cool aspect. Like mm-hmm. It's not reported and kind of confidential.
Yeah.
Do you think that allure to gathering your resources more because they know?
Yeah, because these are the only confidential advocates on campus. So if like people are going to like an additional resource, it's not always going to be confidential. And so here with like with the advocates, like whatever you tell them is going to completely stay between you two. They can help you go through the reporting process if you decide to do that. But that is like a very lengthy and like time consuming and like overwhelming process. So if they don't want to do that, that's completely okay. They'll help like pinpoint them to other resources that they might need to go through that recovery process.
Totally. So I know that it's kind of hard because we're not coming at you with a specific problem and you don't really know our relationship drama or anything. But what bare bones advice would you offer to listeners who maybe are having these issues of not putting their wellness first in college? I know it's really hard. I mean, we have no time. We're always studying. And adding a relationship into that mix is really overwhelming sometimes for students. Mm-hmm. So what would you offer in terms of just making sure students are mindful of themselves and taking care of themselves?
I think it's really important, not even just in terms of relationships, but in terms of overall, is like making sure you are having that time of doing things you enjoy and like taking time for yourself. We talk a lot at work about like how important it is like to have a schedule and stuff like that. And like, while it is important to like, you know, if it works for you to schedule time throughout the day to like do your homework and stuff like that, it's equally as important to have things that are good for you. Having that time to hang out with friends, having that time to like, you know, do whatever that makes you feel good and gives you those positive emotions. Like I said this earlier, can't pour from an open cup. So if like you're struggling and like you're not taking care of yourself, how are you supposed to take care of
yourself? Okay, Rachel, thank you so much for explaining the services that you have at Live Well, what your kind of role is, and how students who are completely lost and alone can find these resources to help their well-being.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, listeners, that was Act 1. Act 2 is coming up.
Stay with us and we'll be right back.
Today we have with us Emily, a sociology PhD student by day and yoga instructor by night.
Thank you so much for coming today, Emily.
Hey, yeah, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
We wanted to start off with just a couple questions about you being a yoga instructor. So how long have you been doing it and when did you get started?
Yeah, so I actually started practicing yoga when I was like 8 years old with my mom. She would just go to like a community center in town. And so I would come along with her, the only person like under the age of 50, probably. And I just remember being young and thinking it was such a cool practice, like having everybody kind of breathe together and move together in this community. But I didn't really fully start practicing on my own until college. That was like every now and then as a kid, I would go with her. And then I picked it back up in college, just like as a stress relief thing. But just because I had heard like, oh, yoga helps with stress relief. And didn't totally feel that for myself. I was a competitive runner for most of my life, and that was my main form of stress relief. So kind of like physical, like active activity, like running, more my thing. And so again, I kind of put yoga to the side. But then in 2020, during the pandemic, really actually dove fully into my yoga practice. And it actually came about because I had a running injury. Again, I've had so many injuries from running over the course of my life. And at the beginning of COVID, I started running a ton, really hard, way too much because I was so stressed, and then injured my knee. And so turned to a yoga practice, like gentle yoga, and that brought me actual like relief and stress relief kind of for the first time. And so in 2020, I then decided to go ahead and get my yoga teacher certification. So I did a 200-hour yoga teacher training that year, and which also not only deepened my own practice for just for myself, but then obviously taught me how to teach other people yoga. So yeah, that's my little history. So started as an 8-year-old and really kind of rounded it out just in the past 2 or 3 years.
I love that. How has yoga changed from you from being a student with your mom at 8 to now instructing others and getting to contribute to their practice?
Yeah, I honestly use some of the things that I remember being a kid, like seeing in those community yoga spaces. I'm from Mississippi, so this little tiny community center in Mississippi, I've used some of those same practices in my own teaching now. One in particular that I really like is like a opening meditation thing, like where you close your eyes and you look to the three corners with your eyes closed. You look up to the right, to the center, and to the bottom right on each side. And it sounds so simple, but it's kind of a hard practice to do. It really like takes a lot of soul focus to do that, and it really calms you down. And that's something I literally learned 20 years ago.
Love that.
So yeah, I've been able to kind of bring some of those things in to my teaching today.
Mm-hmm. Our podcast is all about love and relationships, and Ben, who listeners you might remember was on our first episode, told us that you kind of have lots of tips and tricks and advice on that. So I kind of want to know, where do you see an intersection between wellness and love and relationships and dating and that whole kind of genre that this podcast is all about?
So I really think that yoga helps build your sense of self and it helps cultivate self-confidence. And I think those two things are so important, especially when you're talking about being in a relationship. I think knowing who you are is so important. And if you don't know who you are, then you aren't able to ask a partner how, you know, you need to be treated. But for me, I think yoga, both physically and mentally, has helped me kind of cultivate a deeper sense of self, whether that's because I'm just sitting on my mat breathing and then I realize like, oh, my breath is coming really easily today. Like maybe I'm calmer today. Like just that small practice of checking in with yourself is so, again, it seems so small, but in the grand scheme of things, like those small moments with yourself are so important, especially when they become a daily practice or even a weekly practice. Just like whenever you can check in with yourself, that helps build your sense of self and your self-confidence. And the other thing is you're building self-trust, I think, when you do any kind of physical practice like yoga, or, you know, if your yoga is more of a mental practice or more of a breathing practice, all those are beautiful and perfect and important too. But no matter what form of yoga you're practicing, you are building self-trust. You're saying, I trust whatever's coming up for me right now, and I'm going to check in with that and listen to it without judgment. And yoga really teaches you to approach both physical movement and breathing and just your, you know, listening to the thoughts that come up without judgment, and tries to transform your thoughts into curiosity instead of judgment. And that's so hard to do. I think that's a lifelong practice. And I think most people struggle with, you know, negative self-thoughts sometimes, maybe others more than other people. But a huge goal of yoga is to just approach whatever's coming up for you with curiosity and not judgment. And I think that is something you can bring to relationships as well. You know, approaching your partner or even a friend, just anybody in your life or your in your community with curiosity instead of judgment. So not being quick to reactions. All of that is kind of cultivated on your mat with yourself. And so then you're able to bring that practice to other people.
I love that. And I love what you said, especially about getting to know yourself and how yoga and meditation is such an intimate act with yourself. I really noticed that with my own practice in yoga. And it's really just, you don't realize how in touch with yourself you can be and how much you've been missing out on until you really do the simple things like breathing exercises or just getting on the mat. And whether, like you said, it's a physical or a mental or almost a spiritual workout, it's just wellness in almost all aspects.
Yeah. And I want to add that I think some instructors, not saying you specifically, but in general in yoga, they kind of like idea of turning your mind off and like having those thoughts kind of go away. But for me, actually, I like when I'm practicing yoga that all those these thoughts about relationships and people in my life kind of come up actually, and I get to kind of like slowly like digest them through doing the like class.
Yeah, I love that. And yeah, that's super important, and me too. And I think, I mean, for me as a teacher, one thing that I always kind of try to ask my students throughout their practice, because my background is actually in trauma-informed yoga, and that's a huge piece of it. It's like, just what's coming up here? Just notice that and see if you can, rather than react to it, just observe it and then maybe set it aside and maybe not. Maybe you can work through it physically or through your breath at that exact moment. And it's just like, it's a set aside piece of time of your day to just let whatever needs to happen, happen. And then, yeah, either work through it or just notice it and then maybe put it away for later and until you get back on your mat next time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that. I know it's, and I think this, you kind of already touched on this again, but we're so big on self-love with this podcast. And how do you think that yoga really ties in to this self-love concept?
So, I mean, one big thing, especially with yoga, well, and again, since I'm approaching this as somebody who used to be a big runner, for me, running was a moving meditation as well, because when you know, get in the zone, you just kind of totally check out and you can sort of just let your mind wander and like thoughts wash over you. And the same thing happens to me in yoga now, that I can't really run super long distances because of the injuries I've had. So with yoga, I'm able to check in with myself and figure out, like, just able to work through things. And I think just that in itself is an act of self-love, not neglecting whatever it is that you need and just being able to recognize, like, I'm not okay right now, or I feel great today, or whatever, whether it's positive or negative, or, you know, not even to ascribe like a negativity or whatever to it, but just being able to check in with how you're feeling, I think, is an act of self-love. We're all so busy. We're constantly being told or taught to separate the mind and the body. and to just kind of push forward and just be busy and be productive. And all of those things are great at times, like important, but we're not super encouraged to slow down and just be with ourselves. And that's not really seen as productivity or being productive. And maybe it should be. I think that it's an act of self-love to set aside time to do something good for yourself. And whether that's yoga or not, no matter what it is, if it's running for you or if it's swimming or whatever your physical practice is, just setting aside that time to show up for yourself simply because it's for yourself. I think that's an act of self-love.
Absolutely. And so you said before, like, you couldn't really connect with the yoga. Maybe it was too slow if you're used to running, you know, these long distances and kind of more of an intense workout. One thing I wasn't aware of when I started yoga was how, like, the different levels kind of are. Like, you have, like, the heated vinyasa, and then you have gentle yoga and things like that. So I'd want to advise listeners maybe who have an aversion to yoga. You think it's just like sitting in a dark room, like breathing. Like, yeah, that's totally an important aspect, but there's all these different kinds of yoga.
Yeah, there's, and I tell people the same. One thing that I get a lot, like friends who I'll invite to my yoga classes or just like to come practice at a studio with me, they're like, oh, I'm not flexible. I can't. And I'm not flexible either. I'm a runner. So we are not a flexible species. My hamstrings are so tight, but you don't have to be, you don't have to be flexible to do yoga. And if you are flexible and like you're a dancer, you can do yoga too. So yeah, there's everything from yin yoga, which is like also known as, often known as restorative. It's like super slow. It's all about breathing. It's about like holding deep stretches for a really long time with like bolsters and props. It's usually, yeah, like in a dark room. It's all about like sensory deprivation and just like really slowing down. And then I would say on the opposite end of the spectrum would be like a power vinyasa class and a hot, like a heated power vinyasa class maybe. And that is a much more physical practice. But I think that no matter whether you have no experience or a ton of experience, all options are on the table for everyone. I think you should just try it. And if you don't like it, then you still just practice yoga, even in the act of recognizing you don't like it. Yeah. That is a part of yoga, is just saying, how am I feeling? Like, how am I showing up to this practice? How is it impacting me? And if you leave being like, I didn't like that, then at least you tried and you can try a different version of yoga. The style that I teach is usually, it's called flow yoga. So it's kind of taught at all levels. So no matter if you're a seasoned yogi and you're in my class or it's your very first class ever, I try to teach, the goal of mine, I hope I do this well, but to try to teach to the novice, the very, very beginner, all the way up to that person who is doing handstands and all of that. So there's modifications for every single pose. And again, asana or the physical postures of yoga is just one piece of yoga. So we do pranayama, which is breathing exercises. We end with a meditation. And so all of those are accessible for everyone as well. And it's just super important to me to make my classes accessible for all bodies and all abilities and all levels, no matter, like I said, if you're coming for the very first time or you're a regular. You can kind of modify your practice to make it a little bit more challenging if that's what you're in for that day. Or if you, you know, are feeling sore and tired and just want to like flow, then you can, you know, do that too.
I was always a person who was kind of self-conscious about exercise. Like, I hated going to the gym. And so I was really nervous to go to my first yoga class. And then I realized that going in the yoga studio is probably one of the most inclusive, peaceful places in the whole world. Like, I guess it depends on the instructor too, but I think a common theme is that you just show up as you are and do what you can. And if you need to take a break and go chill in child's pose, like, go ahead and do it. Like, it's really at your own pace. It really is just the most supportive community that I've found through exercise.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I agree. I think yoga, especially, I mean, yoga teacher, like, the yoga teachers that I went through my training with were such amazing people, and my yoga teachers who trained me were just so incredible. And I think it really, it sounds like kind of woo-woo, but it's so obvious, like, people who've practiced yoga, like, for many, many years, I really think you can just tell, like, the calming benefits of yoga, like, no matter if you like the physical component or not, the other, like, the kind of quote-unquote spiritual side of it, like, these breathing exercises are these ancient practices. It's super cool. Like, the history of yoga is amazing and it's so rich. And even just diving into that and kind of being able to appreciate this practice as this ancient Eastern thing that we're now, you know, modifying in the Western world and making it kind of this different thing, but it's the roots of it are still based in this like crazy history, and these ancient people like found that it was helpful for them. And it's super cool to me that even today we're able to say, hey, yeah, this is helping me too. And I think, yeah, like, the tangent I was going to go on was I feel like you can really tell, like, when someone has a rich yoga practice, mm-hmm. like, you're able to show up in stressful situations differently. Like, you're able to, if you're in a stressful situation, you can always turn back to, like, breathing exercises you've learned in a yoga class, or you're able to kind of calm the mind faster maybe than someone who hasn't ever had help or guidance in how to, you know, like I was saying earlier, approach your thoughts with curiosity instead of judgment. So I think all of those things are things you can learn in therapy or in yoga. So it's great.
Yeah, totally. I think every one of our listeners should go to Emily's yoga classes. They sound so good and super helpful. And like you're saying that there's these like stressful things in your lives that you can come show up to a yoga class and sort of decompress or like digest them. Then one thing that is very stressful is relationships and love and dating and all of that. And that's a great place to go and I don't know, work those like problems that you have out.
Yeah, there's this quote from RuPaul that I've had from doing this podcast, and it's like, if you can't, along the lines of like, you can't love yourself, you can't love anybody else. He says it much more, you know, vivaciously than I could. But, and that's so true. And I think that yoga is one of those things that is mind, body, and soul. And it really is all about knowing yourself, understanding yourself, and loving yourself through even, you know, the hard parts of your practice or your life and relationships. It just all kind of goes full circle.
I think one other thing about kind of cultivating a yoga practice for yourself that can then show up in your relationships, whether they're romantic or with friends or your community, is when you're able to be more centered and at peace with yourself and more forgiving with yourself, I think you're able to extend that to other people. And that will absolutely show up in romantic relationships and in your love life. When you're able to know yourself and be present with yourself without judgment and kind of cultivate that curiosity rather than that judgment, I think you're able to show that in romantic relationships. But yeah, the main thing is just being more centered and peaceful and at peace with yourself. I think that absolutely can transcend, and that'll be obvious to other people around you.
Completely. So for listeners looking to begin a yoga practice, how can they get connected on campus or practice some of these concepts that you've talked about at home?
Yeah, so I teach at the at the IMA through the Rec Class Pass. So all students and anybody affiliated with UW can buy a class pass every quarter and take my classes and the many other yoga classes that are offered through the Rec Class Pass. And then I work at a studio in Seattle and Green Lake called Pranify. I don't teach there, but I work there, and the teachers there are amazing. So yeah, just being connected on campus, definitely grab the Rec Class Pass because all the instructors are amazing. And then as far as like cultivating a home practice, like if you are maybe a little bit nervous to come to your first yoga practice in a group setting, I absolutely understand. We would be super supportive of you. But if you want to kind of cultivate something at home first, go to YouTube and just type in maybe like slow flow or gentle yoga and start with that, and then kind of see how the breath exercises work for you. And then if you're looking for more of like a physical kind of workout style practice, you would search for like a vinyasa yoga practice. And yeah, maybe start on YouTube in your living room and see how that goes, and then come in for a class. And also, I know all yoga teachers are super excited about this kind of stuff. So if you ever meet a yoga teacher or you come to a class and you want to stay after for a few minutes and just ask questions, I would love that. I love when students ask questions about what's going on. And I had a friend recently come to a class, and it was his first time ever doing yoga. He has ADHD, and it's just a big part of his life that has, you know, impacted him in a lot of different ways. And afterwards, he came up to me and he was like, so question, why is it so easy to lay there and be still and have my mind just be blank after yoga? Like, because at the end, I always end with like a 5-minute shavasana or it's like a meditation. And I just like laughed and I was like, that is the biggest compliment you can give a yoga teacher. It's like, I don't know. We're not totally sure. There's some scientific reasons behind it, but you know, that's just such a great thing to hear. And so if you wanted to talk to your teacher about any questions you have, you can totally do that as well to get to know what's going on, like in your mind and your body after your practices, kind of as you're starting out.
When they bring around those lavender towels, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can just be now. It feels so good.
Exactly.
So I was wondering, so I know that you practice, have you both practiced yoga? Like, is that a big part of both your lives or just...
For you, I would say bigger. I go to some. I do yoga like for stretching because I teach cycle. That's how I met Ben. So, so to help me with my calves are so tight and sore all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, I started yoga with my mom a couple of years ago, and I just immediately noticed a change in myself after I started yoga. It was just like a great community. It was all the moms that lived in my town. And so I was like, it was just so much fun going. And then last summer, I really started going independently, and I just started with gentle yoga. I thought I was going to like do gentle and like work my way up to vinyasa. And I was like, you know what? I really like just doing gentle yoga. It felt really good. I have a lot of tension in my hips. I know that yoga is a great way to kind of release some of that trauma that lives within our hips because we carry like a lot of our emotions there. So gentle yoga was life-changing for me. And it wasn't even just the stretching that was there. It was like the whole act of getting up, getting ready and doing something just for myself and not having anybody there that I knew. It was just more about like meeting people and cultivating these relationships. Yoga was a huge game changer for me. It really allowed me to just open up to myself and get to know my body in this really like fun and like stretchy, cool way.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome. And one thing that you said reminded me of another thing about kind of yoga and self-love. I think that yoga communities, which we've kind of touched on, are so welcoming. And whether you're in a studio space or like here at the IMA, everybody is really happy to be there. Like everyone is showing up because they're there to do something good for themselves. And that weirdly, like that's not a space that we're in very often, unfortunately. Yeah. Like if you're at work and you all love your job, like, okay, that's great. But you're still there to like make money. Like at the end of the day, the reason you're there is like some, you know, other motive. But if you're at a yoga class, like you're all there because you want to do something good for your mind and your body and your soul. And so just being in that community is really nourishing, I think. Mm-hmm. And it helps you cultivate relationships with people who share that interest. So maybe if you keep going to the same yoga class, you'll start creating relationships with your teachers or other students who are there. And so building community, I think, is a form of self-love, too. Mm-hmm. So kind of creating relationships, platonic or otherwise, with other yogis is a great way to also practice self-love.
It's so true, because you know that they value the same things that you do, because they're working on themselves the same time that you're working on yourself. Amazing. And you're like, oh, my gosh, look at us. We're growing together.
You need
like,
to find
together.
A yoga daddy. I think that's that's your goal.
That should be the goal always. I love yoga. Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming on. Emily, it was great to have you.
Yes, thank you so much. We can't wait to take a class with you in the near future.
Yeah, thanks. I will see you in IMA 316 soon.
Yes.
Thanks for tuning into It's Complicated, the podcast. Please stick around because we'll be here every other week giving you advice on love, dating, relationships, friendships, and most importantly, love for yourself so that everything can be a little less
complicated. Please follow us on Instagram at It's Complicated the Pod. Follow us on Spotify and follow us to Live Well and the Yoga Studio to gain the support we need because we are the picture of health now.
Exactly. So teaser for next episode. Brangelina fans, we are coming for you. See you next time.